10 cases.
In the executive session, we have items 29 through 34 that we needed to vote on. If we could, in a perfect world, get through those.
Well, Chair, we'll have to get through whatever we can get through till we don't have a quorum, but...
Yeah, I want to stay to be able to get through the rest of it, but if we can just power through...
So. We'll power through it. Yeah, that's the best thing, because otherwise you have to ask Josh, what do I do on these preliminary views that aren't voted on? Are they dismissed?
We have the parties for agenda items 44 and 47 waiting.
I don't care about that.
Okay.
So let's go back to what the let's go back to the beginning, Chair.
29.
Yep.
29 or 28.
So
we'll start with item number 28.
Okay. Chair Mason, Commissioners, item 28 is a PR, a preliminary review report for Jim Lork, a former commissioner for Sunshine Acres Special Road District. He joined the Road District Commission in 2019. A year later, in 2020, he was hired by Scott Marshall Trucking, where he continues to be employed. Scott Marshall Trucking had been doing the annual road maintenance for the district for 5 years. In April of 2021, they did work for 5 days on the road district job and replaced the culvert for $17,000 and some change. The road district paid the invoice by check. The check was signed by Jim Rourke, who is an employee of Scott Marshall Trucking. He was the only one of the two commissioners who had check signing authority. Because Scott Marshall Trucking is a business with which he's associated, he appears to have had an actual conflict of interest. The road district has not held any public meetings since 2018, and he did not make any public disclosure of a conflict. The commission's guide suggests alternate ways of disclosing a conflict, but none of those alternate ways were used. Additionally, under 244.0401, he's prohibited from using his position to provide a financial benefit to his employer. In this case, it appears he may have done so. If this case goes to investigation, we would determine if there were other companies that could have been contacted to bid on the job and determine whether the financial benefit to Scott Marshall Trucking would have otherwise been available but for Jim Rourke being a commissioner. The recommendation is to move to investigation.
Thank you for that staff report. Do we have any questions from commissioners?
No.
Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, hearing and seeing no further comments, I will move that we accept the staff recommendation to investigate possible violations of ORS 244.040 sub 1 and 244.120 Sub 2 involving Jim Roark, item 21-168ESM on our agenda.
Thank you, Commissioner. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fisco?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item number 29, case of Pamela Shields, which we heard a specific lengthy report prior,
yes.
Which I don't believe we need to continue to move through. So I will accept a motion.
Mr. Chair, I will move that we agree to investigate possible violations of ORS 192.660 involving Ms. Pamela Shields.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiscom. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item number 30, Ronald Harden. Same basis of facts.
Mr. Chair, I move we investigate possible violations of ORS 192.660 involving Ronald Harden.
Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none, if we can have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fisco?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Number 31, case of Rhonda Etherly. Same state of facts, so we'll accept a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move we investigate possible violations of ORS 192.660 involving Ms. Rhonda Etherly.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister? Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item number 32, Smotra Chetri, board member. Same state of facts.
Mr. Chair, I move to investigate possible violations of ORS 192.660 involving Sumatra Chetri.
Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none, a roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item number 33, Rod Bocher.
Mr. Chair, I'll recommend that we move to investigate possible violations of ORS 192.660 involving Mr. Rod Boecher.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item number 34, the final of the Centennial School District, Claudia Andrews. Same state of facts. Accept a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that we investigate possible violations of ORS 192.660 for Ms. Claudia Andrews.
Any discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Number 36, Jeffrey Smith, City Councilor of City of Bandon. Do we have a staff report?
Yes. He's not here, but other people are. Should we jump? He's not here, but other people.
No, let's just go.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chair Mason and Commissioners. Complaints allege that Jeffrey Smith, the city councilor for the city of Bandon, may have violated Oregon government ethics law by failing to comply with conflict of interest, prohibited use of office, taking official actions, and he may have failed to improperly fill out a statement of economic interest. The issue is that Mr. Smith and his wife co-own a By the Sea Gardens, a landscaping company that has a 3-year contract with the city. this contract has been in place prior to Mr. Smith being appointed to the City Council. That occurred in April 2021. The By the Sea Gardens contract with the city was entered into for a period of 3 years on January 12, 2019 and won't expire until July 2022. As such, Mr. Smith's participation in Budget Committee and City Council meetings in May of this year did not create a conflict of interest. There was no attempt, there was no discussion, there was no addressing at all of that existing contract. Moreover, we verified through checking the statement of economic interest that it had been properly filled out, indicating that Privacy Gardens was his employer. The matter is in your book with a recommendation to dismiss. Thank you.
Thank you for that report. Based on your recommendation, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I will move that we dismiss the complaint involving Mr. Jeffrey Smith from the City of Bandon.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, if we can have a roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards? Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Item number 44, I believe that's the next one that we have on the list.
Respondent is waiting. Should I let them in?
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Admitting them now. Should be here.
And if we can start off with a staff report when ready.
Thank you, Chair Mason. Before you is the matter of Janet Yaronde Gonzalez, that is 21-202 ELC. Oregon Government Ethics Commission received a complaint indicating that the respondent, a member of the Deschutes County School District Number 1, also known as Ben Lapine School District Board of Directors, may have used her position to attempt to obtain financial personal gain or for a business with which she is associated, or to solicit gifts. Complaint alleges that respondent may have used her position as a school board member to solicit funds and gifts on her social media accounts. Just very briefly, respondent does have several Facebook accounts. All are set to public. One, the account at issue is what she has termed her personal account. However, the personal account does contain information identifying her quite clearly as a school board, initially a candidate and currently as a member of the board. Contained on that personal Facebook page account were three solicitations for money, one for a holiday idea for the 4th of July to send money, which contained respondents' Venmo and Cash App information in which she was asking people visiting her Facebook site to send her money. Same thing occurred on another account, on the same personal account in which the respondent asked people to send gifts of self-care to a recently elected public official. Finally, there was a GoFundMe account with a link attached. The GoFundMe account itself and the link were present on her account. In her name, the respondent indicated that the person receiving, that would eventually be receiving the funds, wished to remain anonymous. However, it was a GoFundMe account set up in the name of the respondent. As many of the donors have and can remain anonymous on social media, there really is no way to ascertain what gifts may have been made in violation of the gift statutes, given that she is a public official and, again, was identified as a public official on her personal account as well as on her other two accounts. It seems that there may be a violation of the gift laws and of use of office, depending on what would be determined about the gifts made or attempted or solicited by respondent. For all of those reasons, we are asking at this time that the matter be moved to investigation to obtain further information. Thank you.
Thank you for that staff report. And Ms. Laronde Gonzalez, if you were with us, this would be your opportunity to share with the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, if so choose.
Yes, hi, thank you. I am here. Thank you for the opportunity. As noted in the response, I did provide, although late, a screenshot of the third complaint in which the GoFundMe page was created, yes, by me as the director of MECAVEND, which is a 501c3 in the state of Oregon. I do use that for fundraising purposes, and I did share a screenshot of where those particular funds for this campaign were deposited into the nonprofit. From that point on, of course, they are redistributed to the recipient, which is anonymous. However, I do have documentation of that transfer of the full amount. I submitted that a little late, so I apologize for that. But, you know, if the investigation goes there, I have all the documentation prepared to provide that information. As far as the two complaints prior, I did also share a screenshot of my Venmo transaction history, and I don't know if you're familiar with that platform, but it does not allow you to delete or modify any sort of transaction history. And on there, you could see that $20 was the maximum and the only gift that was given to me during that July 4th through, I think it was August, period. Since then, I have very much made it my intention to learn more about these processes, what falls under ethics violation, so that I am obviously clear on that in the future. At no time, you know, prior to this meeting, you know, was I using, as I feel, leveraging or using my seat in office to gain any sort of financial benefit from it. Upon reviewing, though, my Facebook post, looking clearly at the definition of the ORS, you know, possible violations, I can see how obviously that looks as if I was soliciting using that. And so I have certainly learned a lot from this, and I'm prepared to grow from this experience, and also ask that you consider essentially that, you know, the only gift that was received was were those $20, excuse me. And again, having provided that transaction history, I hope that you can see that.
Thank you for that presentation. Do we have any questions for staff or our participant? Seeing none, I will accept a motion.
Mr. Chair, I will first say that I appreciate the response from Ms. Ronda Gonzalez, if I'm saying that right. Thank you for your candor. That said, I appreciate your willingness to keep working with our staff. That said, I will move to investigate possible violations of ORS 244.040 sub 1 and 244.025 sub 1 involving Janet Sarai LaRonda Gonzalez.
Thank you, Commissioner Fiscom. Do we have any discussion on this motion? And seeing none, if we can have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Ms. LaRonda Gonzalez. I appreciate you being with us today, and our staff will be in touch.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Item number 45, Thomas Reef, former detective of Klamath Falls Police Department. Do we have a staff report?
Yes, thank you, Chair Mason and Commissioners. Respondent was employed as a detective with the Klamath Falls Police Department at the time of the incidents at issue. During this time, respondent took fentanyl and methamphetamine from a co-worker's evidence locker for his personal use. Since that time, respondent has been charged and pled guilty in both federal and state court. His state court sent two crimes related to the theft of the narcotics. At this point in time, there is a sentencing that will occur on November 23rd, 2021 in federal court. For that reason, if this matter is moved to investigation, the staff would be asking in regular session to that the matter be suspended while the criminal case is resolved, as he has not been sentenced yet. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for staff? Seeing none, I'll accept a motion.
Mr. Chair, hearing the report from staff, I will move that we investigate possible violations of ORS 244.040 sub 1 involving Thomas Reese.
Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none, if we can have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
And do we have item number 47 that is there with us?
Yes. I will let her in now.
Commissioner Edwards, how are you holding up time-wise?
She should be
there.
Thank
you.
We need him.
All right. If we can have a staff report on item number 47.
Thank you. Chair Mason, Commissioners, again, for the record, Lisa Kristen. I'm an investigator with the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. Before you is the case of Colleen, also known as Kiana Kurzanowski. Complained and alleged that respondent, who was a former licensed behavioral health specialist, too, with Deschutes County Health Services, might have attempted to use her position for financial gain or failed to declare a conflict of interest regarding businesses with which she is associated. The allegation in the complaint appears to be that while still employed at DCHS, respondent had engaged in actions which were conflicts of interest and that she arranged for clients of DCHS to leave DCHS to receive counseling or support services at one of two entities, either Still Autistic or the Base at Franklin, LLC, companies with which she is associated and helped create. Although the stated purpose of Still Autistic is to provide services to the autistic community, respondent has indicated that the position as executive director of Still Autistic is unpaid and that the entity is all volunteer. As such, the Still Autistic position would not have required respondent to announce a conflict. However, prior to leaving DCHS, respondent created the Base at Franklin LLC, which is respondent's private clinical counseling practice. She anticipates, per response sent to commission, billing clients for her services at this clinic, and that would appear to include any clients who moved from DCHS to the Base at Franklin LLC when she left DCHS. It was respondent's contention that she was encouraged to take clients with her. Complainant responded that no such encouragement takes place or is expected. As such, more information is needed to determine if respondent engaged in actions which were a conflict of interest regarding clients of DCHS moving to the Base at Franklin while she was still employed at DCHS and failed to announce the same. The matter is in your meeting book for the recommendation to move to investigation. Thank you.
Thank you for that report. Ms. Rosamowski, this is your opportunity to present to us, if you so choose, to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. Thank you.
Sure, hi. I submitted a document to Lisa in this past week that was a copy of my transition caseload report that was created by my supervisor about a month before I left that included her notes about which clients on my caseload would be transferring to me, as is common practice for all clinicians leaving the county. I guess my response is that it's inaccurate for Jillian to say that in practice it's not encouraged or common for clinicians to take their clients with them. I have quite a bit more documentation to support that. The last clinician that left before me offered his information to be contacted. He absolutely took a large caseload with him and was actually asked several times to take more clients with him while he was in private practice and still substituting once a week at the county. His name is Pete Swick. The county has, because of our high caseload, there's a lot of pressure for us to close clients. And so the reason I started the base and Still Autistic was because I had an adult autistic group for several years and a lot of pressure to close these clients. But autism is different and there's nowhere for them to go. So these are clients that weren't removed from the county in any way. We went through these clients, like all others, to determine what was best care for them. My supervisor, myself, and in part Janice Gorso, who's the deputy director, who initiated this complaint. She had advised that she didn't feel it was best practice for clinicians not to take clients with them that are best served to go with them. And she advised that I send out a letter through our team secretary letting those clients know where I would be going without any solicitation, just to give them the information. And so I did that through the secretary, and that she confirmed that those letters went out. I had mentioned to the investigator from the beginning that this has been a 16-month ongoing kind of targeting and bullying on the part of DCVH. And so this is just kind of the most direct, I'd say, singling out so far. I think we've had maybe 7 of maybe 10 clinicians leave in the last year or two. And all of those clinicians, and I have their names, have taken a large caseload with them. So I guess that would be my response.
Okay. Well, thank you for the presentation. And right now we're just trying to determine whether we need to move this into an investigative process. So that is what our organization is looking at today. But thank you. Commissioners, do you have any questions for staff at this time? Seeing none, I would accept a motion.
Mr. Chair, I want to first express appreciation for the testimony we've just received. That's helpful information. Our staff will benefit from it. If we do, as I'm going to move to investigate possible violations of ORS 244.040 and ORS 244.120 involving Colleen Krasnowski.
Thank you for that, Commissioner Fiscom. Any discussion on the motion? And seeing none, if we can have a roll call vote.
Commissioner Hollister?
Aye.
Commissioner Lindsay?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Chair Mason?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Kiana, for being with us, and our staff will be in touch. Like we said, this is the investigative process that will continue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Chair, number 49. Number 49.